Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Lametet Amud Bet. We're just going to review the last line that we did yesterday, which is Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Lichlot Inish, a person should not scald in boiling hot water, Trei Chite Behade Hadodi, two kernels of wheat at the same time, Tilma Azla Chado, because maybe one of them will go, Beyata Bitziria de Chaverta, and will sit in the crack, slit, cleft of another one, and then the stream of hot water will not come from all four sides because it's going to be shielded by the other kernel, wheat kernel. And there's a possibility that the water will reach it but not scald it in such a way that it will repress any type of chimutz, any type of fermentation or leavening. A person should not singe two stalks at the same time. Dilma nafke maya mehai ubala idach, because when you are roasting, singeing one of the stalks, maybe some of the water or the liquid that comes out of the roasted stalk will then be absorbed by the other one. Ba'atili de chimutz, and that will cause fermentation by the second stalk. Samale rova ihochi afilu chadanami. Rav says back to him, wait, if you're going to worry about a second stalk, why don't you worry about the stalk itself? Maybe as you're roasting on one side of the head of the stalk that has the kernels in it, that liquid will go out and then fall on the other side of the head, and the kernels on the other side then will have the moisture on them while they're not being roasted, and then you have a problem of fermentation or chametz again. Rav says there's no problem here whatsoever. The water that emerges from, whether it's the wheat kernels or whether it's from the stalks themselves, are meperot. They are not water. They're considered to be quote-unquote fruit juices. Meperot einan machmitzim. And when it comes to fruit juices, they cannot cause leavening. They cannot cause chametz. So there's nothing to worry about here. Even if there is moisture, even if there is liquid, there's nothing to worry about because this type of liquid is not going to cause chametz. As we saw before, that meperot einan machmitzim. Okay, according to Tosafot or Rabbeinu Tam, that means ein machmitzim legamrei. They're not machmitz whatsoever. According to Rashi, it's a little more difficult here, but Rashi thinks that they accelerate the chimutz process. V'hadar bei Abaye, and Abaye retracted his position. Mihayi dechol agav mitlayu lo machmitzei, because anything that falls on the item is not going to cause chimutz. So anything that is derived from a liquid that is emanating from this item, that's not going to cause types of chametz, because it's dripping or moving water, and that type of dripping or moving water does not have the impact of making it into chametz. Damar bay, hay chatzva de ivjashna, this pitcher or barrel full of avishna is roasted kernels of wheat that are made into flour. Schifa shori, if it's laying down or a downward trajectory, then it works. Zekifa, if it's upright, it's asur. Because when you roast the kernels or the wheat kernels, they give off a liquid or the liquid emanates from them. So he says if the pitcher or whatever's holding these wheat kernels is tipped on its side and slightly downward, then the liquid that is being produced from the roasting of these kernels will run off and it won't be a problem. On the other hand, if it's upright, then they will continue to sit and soak in that liquid, and that will be problematic. Rav Amar, afilu skifa nami shari. Rav l'shitato says, even if it's upright, the canister, pitcher, whatever's holding these wheat kernels, meperot ninhu, meperot einan machmitzim. Rav l'shitato says that the liquids that are emanating from these wheat kernels are meperot, and they don't have the ability to be made into chametz. So it doesn't matter even if they remain inside of the holding utensil. Does not matter because they just can't make it into chametz. On the other hand, what you see from Abaye over here is that he does allow you now to roast items together, but he does prescribe that you do it in such a way that the liquid drains off. So as opposed to before, where Abaye said you can't singe two stalks at the same time, now already he's allowing to do multiple kernels at the same time. It just demands that you have the liquid run off. So that's what the Gemara says, that Abaye was Hadarbe, that he was chozer from his position, that you're not allowed to singe these items. Again, because of the fact that the liquid's in motion, plus it is dripping or coming off of the item, because of that, it does not cause chametz, but that's as long as it's in motion and moving. So if it's tipped in such a manner that the liquid drains, that's fine. But if the liquid is stationary and held in the utensil when it's upright, that would be problematic, according to Abaye. So Tana Banan, Ein lotetim se'orim b'pesach, that you're not allowed to soak se'orim, is barley, on Pesach. Vim latat, if you did soak the kernels, nitpaku asturot, if they crack, if they have slits in them, then they are asturot. Lo nitpaku mutarot, if they remain whole, if they remain solid, then there's no problem. Obviously, the splitting allows the water to enter and can cause the process of chimutz. So if they're still solid, then we know that there's no chimutz that's taking place over here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shran b'chometz, b'chometz somtan. You don't have to worry. Even if they are split, all you have to do is put them into vinegar. And vinegar is an astringent of sorts. It stops the process of chametz. It causes the chametz, or the leavening, to desist. And so because of that, it's a solution after the fact. After the fact, once you see the process begin, you can stop the process by putting it into vinegar. But Amar Shmuel, ain't a locha k'Rabbi Yossi. The locha is not like Rabbi Yossi, and vinegar is not sufficient to stop the process of leavening. So now we have one statement of the Breit, or the Tanakam, the Breit, which is Rabbi Meir, that ain't lotetim sorim b'pesach, one cannot soak barley on Pesach because of this fear of chametz. Now, b'dievet, if he did do it, then we have to look at the outcome to determine whether it's chametz. Rabbi Yossi's suggestion that even if there's a possibility of chametz, we could solve the problem by putting it into vinegar is not accepted according to Shmuel Halacha. Sam Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva. Lon mit bak'u mamash. When we say over here that they cracked, or there's slits in them, that means not that it physically happened. El koshi ilu menichana gapi chavit. Except the case is that if you place them on top of a barrel of wine, and therefore the aroma or the alcohol or fermentation of the wine will cause them, and they would split by themselves, that's problematic. So they don't have to physically be cracked. It just has to be that if you would place them on top of a barrel of wine, they're cracked by themselves. That means that they're open enough, or that they are accessible enough to the water that they can become chametz. Shmuel Amar nitpaku mamash. Shmuel says, no, that when we're talking about the bikiyah here, we're talking about some sort of cracking cleft or slit in the kernel. That means literally the kernel split. So, Avad Shmuel Uvdo, Shmuel Paskin Alocha, based on his own Shita, Bedora de Bei Bar Chashu, in the residence, or the city, or the village of Bei Bar Chashu. And he said, Nitbaku Mamash, they literally have to crack in order to be a problem for Chametz. Amar Rabba, Bal Nefesh Lo Yotot. The Rabba says that a person who is a Bal Nefesh would not soak his grains. Now, Rashi explains what's a Baal Nefesh. Rashi gives one interpretation. Baal Nefesh is a Chassid. And then the Isfari Macharim brought by the Mesorat Ashah says, it's Yirei Shamayim, Acharei Al Nafsho. This is someone who is fearful of heaven and worries about his soul, meaning he doesn't want to take any risks. So he is conservative when it comes to halacha. He's unwilling to take the risks, even though maybe under the letter of the law it would be permissible. He'd rather avoid even the letter of the law when there's any possibility of transgression. And that's what it is. He's an extra shomer nafsho midavar ra. He is yirei shamayim. As Rashi terms it, as a chassid, not a chassid like the modern day term of chassid, but a chassid in the terms of the Torah is someone that acts with nimi shirut adin, someone who does not just follow the letter of the law. Where it says, my yiriya bal nefesh. Wait a minute. Why is this a program, or why is this a halacha, just for those people that are extra careful? Afilu kulei almanami? Isn't this a problem for everyone? Da tanya, ein lo tutin sorim b'pesach. We have a braita that says specifically you're not allowed to soak sorim, barley, on Pesach. So what do you mean a bal nefesh? This is not a prescription just for balei nefesh. This is for the lay people, for everyday individuals. They have to ensure that this stuff does not soak because it's a problem of chametz. Hachi kamar, this is what he means. Bal nefesh, afilu chitim dishrire lo yotot. So the Braita spoke about barley. What Rabba is speaking about is wheat. And Rabba says that a Baal Nefesh, even though the Braita spoke about barley, a Baal Nefesh will even do this when it comes to wheat. The difference being between wheat and barley is that wheat has shrire. It's a much harder, tougher, stronger kernel, and there's less likely to crack open or have chimutz take place. So because of that, for the lay people, or for the hamonam, we say they can't soak the item, because if they soak it, it's not really going to come to chametz. There's a low risk of that happening. And by barley, there's a much higher risk of it happening. And therefore, we say you cannot be soaking the barley, and that's for everybody. By wheat, we say a bal nefesh won't do it, because even though it's a far-fetched risk, he doesn't want to take that risk at all. But for the hamonam, we're willing to allow them to take such a risk, since it is somewhat far-fetched. So Amar Leih Rav Nachman, man detzayit leih l'abba. Who's going to listen to Abba? Abba over here is a reference to Rabba. It's an interesting usage of the term Abba. It's not usually used with Rabba. It's used with Rav and other Amoraim, but here it's used with Rabba. Rav Nachman says, who's going to listen to him? Achil Nehema Dipusha. Because if you do listen to him, you're going to end up eating moldy bread. You're going to end up eating stale bread. Now, the truth is, he's not going to really eat Nehema Dipusha. It's not going to be spoiled bread, but spoiled in the sense that he'll have to eat whole wheat bread. He will not be able to eat white bread or refined bread, because if you don't soak the kernels, you can't get rid of all the extra morsan, the chaff, the things that are around the kernel in order to make it or to grind it to the point where it's a fine white flour. So because of that, you're going to end up with this whole wheat flour because you can't soak them. So that's what Rav Nachman says to who's going to listen to Rabba, or whoever does listen to Rabba is going to end up with this whole wheat flour. Dabe Ravuna Latate. First of all, in the Beit Midrash, or the house of Ravuna, they did soak. Be Rava Ba'avin Latate. And same too is true by Rava Ba'avin. So now we have the opinion of Rabba, who says you should not soak these items. You should not do this on Pesach, before Pesach, because of the fear of Chametz. Whereas we have Rav Nachman, who is a Talmid of Shmuel, saying that whoever listens to Rabba is going to end up in a position where they have poor quality bread or poor quality matzah. And so therefore it doesn't make sense to listen to him, because we have evidence from other Amoraim that they did soak these kernels. And very likely Rav Nachman is taking the opinion of his Rebbe Shmuel, who said before that when we talk about nitbaku, the only problem is when they crack open, literally crack open. Otherwise, you don't worry about the chimutz. So as long as you're soaking them and they don't crack open, we're not going to worry about the fact that there is chametz over here. Then Rav Amar Asur Liltot. Rav says you may not soak at all. Elahad Tanya. Then that brayta that says Ein Lototim Sorim BePesach. That brayta that says you're not allowed to soak barley on Pesach. Sorim Hudulo Hachite Shari. Then the diuk we would make out of the brayta is that this is a unique din to Sorim, and it would not apply to Chitim, and therefore you could soak Chitim. So no, he says no. Lo mi bayi kamar. Lo mi bayi Chitim. I don't have to talk about Chitim or speak about Chitim. Came to eat Beit Syria because they have clefts, slits in them. Iobahu Maya, the water gets in and causes problems. Of Sa'are, by barley seeds, the Shiei, that they are smooth. They don't have any of these cracks in them. Ema Shapir Dami, let us say that would be totally fine. Kamash Malon, that's not the case. So I would have a Havamina that only wheat would be problematic and barley would be fine when it comes to soaking in water. That's why the Breiter came and told us that barley, even barley, is problematic. And because barley is problematic, okay, certainly wheat is problematic. It's the opposite logic that we had before. Before we wanted to suggest that the Chitim were stronger or harder shell, therefore they were likely to be Chametz. On the other hand, what the Gemara is pointing out here is even though they have a harder, solid shell, they also have cracks in them or clefts in them. And that ups the risk that there is going to be Chametz here from the Chitim. And that's why the Breiter focused on Seorim, which was less likely to be considered Chametz. So that's what the Kamash Malan is, that even Sorim, you cannot soak in the water. Hadar Amar Rava, then Rava retracted that position. Originally, he began with the position that you're not allowed to soak. Then Rava moved to a position which is Mutar Liltot, that it is permissible to soak. The Tanya, Yotzim Bepat Nekiyah V'Hadra'a. Person can use matzah on Pesach that is made from fine white flour, from refined flour, or V'Hadra'a, or from whole wheat flour. It's fine. And Rava makes or posits a statement here, which is V'yev shara nikiya below the tita. It's impossible to get that clean flour without soaking. So if the Bright is telling you you can have pat nikiya, you can have matzah that's made from refined white flour, then it's clear that you were able to soak it, because otherwise you wouldn't get to that end result. Edve Rav Popa, the Rava, is your statement really true? That position that you take, that you require soaking in order to get solit nikiya, is that really true? Hakmachim vasalotot. So you have the flour and the solot, which is the fine flour. Shel nachrim, of non-Jews. Shel kfarim tehorim. If it's in the villages, then it's tahor. Shel krachim, if it's in the cities, then it's tameim. So here we have flour that is coming from a nachri. Our fear about the flour coming from the nachri is the possibility that it is chametz, one, but more importantly here, it's a question of tuma, which is, was this mukshar the kabel tuma? Did this have water that passed over that allows it to become tameh? So now we said in the kfarim, no, and that's why they remain torim. In the cities, yes, so that's why they're a problem. The kfarim might time up. What's the reason in the villages that it's not a problem? La mishum to lo latate. Because in the villages, they don't soak the grains. Since they don't soak the grains, there's no problem of mukshar the kabel tuma because no liquid went on them. The kari lay solet. And yet, the Braita, when it began, says, Hakmachim Veslatot, that the Kemach and the Solet. So it's talking about even fine flour. And it's talking about the Kfarim over here, that they have Solet, despite the fact that they're not soaking the grain. So that proves to you that there isn't a correlation between soaking the grain and getting to Solet Nikiya. So the Gemara answer is Targuma Kimcho. You can explain it based on the Kemach, meaning that the Braita, when it said or made this qualification between Kfarim and the Ayarot, that's speaking about a case of the Kemach, not the Solet. And as Tosfot points out, well, if you do that, then what's Solet doing in the Brit at all? There's nothing being said about Solet. We're only talking about Kemachim. He says, Hashta Amai Tani Solatot, Ishlamar Tadim Katani. It breaks it down. The Brit is breaking it down and saying, well, here is the din of Kemachim, and here's the din of Solet, and within Solet, here is the breakdown within Solet. So that's still Kemachim have relevance over here, by at least the case where they were washed, and the case where they weren't washed, they don't have that. But Solet, the point being that Solet, in this case, has a possibility of becoming Solet without being washed. But Pope answers and says, no, the Mishnah, the Braita is speaking about that case where it's Kemach and not Solet. So Batanafik, after Rava left, Amar, Rav Papa says to himself, ah, my time alone, lay me ha. How come I didn't ask him from this? Dama Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Shmuel, Chitin shel Menachot, ain lo tutim mutan. The wheat of Menachot that are brought in the Mikdash, do not soak them. Vekakari lehu solet. And the Menachot come from solet. So despite the fact that they're not soaked, you still can get the solet. So hado Amar Rava. So then Rava came to a position which is mitzvah diltot. It's actually a mitzvah to soak the grain. So Rava has done a complete 360 over here. He began with a position which is, it was asur l'tot, where you're not permitted to soak. Then he moved to a position which was mutar l'tot, it is permissible to soak it. And now he's moved to a position which is, it's a mitzvah l'tot, that you should soak the items. Why? Nemar ushmartem et ha-matzot. One must guard the matzot. Ilo debayi letita shimor lamai. If it doesn't require soaking, then what are you watching it from? So the point being that the shimur is an antidote to the possibility of something becoming chametz. So I have to be able to entertain the possibility of chametz in order to have shimur. So the possibility of becoming chametz is from the point that water is added. So water can be added from the soaking process, and the soaking process, that could create chametz. So Rava says it's a mitzvah to soak them so that you can watch the matzah to ensure that it doesn't become chametz, and then it will be matzah shmurah. Now, the question the Gemara poses right away is, and Rav is aware of the fact that this is a problem, and that's why he says that it can't be the case, which is, maybe we're talking about Shimur Delisha. Who says that the Shimur here is for soaking the grain? Maybe it's when you put the water together with the flour and you begin to knead it. There you also have a problem, and you need Shimur then as well. So he says, Shimur Delisha lav Shimur hu. The guarding of the kneading of the dough is not considered to be shmirah in the context of the patsuk of shemartem et ha-matzot. Damar Rav Huna. Batzekot shel nachrim. The dough of a non-Jew. Adam mimalei kriso mehen. Person can eat as many of those as he wants on Pesach or on the night of the Seder. Uvad she'ochal kazayit matzah b'achrona. As long as he eats a kazayit worth of matzah that was done the shem matzat mitzvah at the end. B'achrona in. That's at the end, yes. Barishana lo. But in the beginning, no. My daima. Why can't you utilize the items of the nachri? Why do you have to eat this matzah shmura? So it's a mishum. The lo avid behu shimur. Because he didn't guard them. So Gemara says, it's clear here, that the guarding from Lishan onward is not sufficient. Because here you got the dough of the Nachri, and you did Shimur from that point forward, and yet the Breita is telling us that that doesn't work. That's not good enough to have as your Matzat Chova on the night of Pesach. So, V'la'avile Shimur Mafiyavelech, who says that you don't have Shimur here. Maybe you do have Shimur here. You have Shimur from the point of baking onwards. Baking means the preparation to put in the oven, the basting, everything that you do with it. Then maybe that's sufficient. Elav Shmina. So what do you see from this? Shimur Mikara Be'inan. We need Shmirah from an earlier stage. So from the point that you get the dough from the Nachri, that type of Shmirah is not sufficient to make it into Matzah Shmurah. You must have a Shmirah that's prior to that point in time for it to be classified as Matzah Shmurah. I says, how do you know that's true? Dilma Shiny Hotam. Maybe over there it's a different case. The Be'idna the Nachet the Shimur, Lo Aved Lo Shimur. From the point that it reached Shimur, you didn't do Shimur, and that's what the problem is. Had it from the moment it became necessity or necessary to do Shimur, you did Shimur. Maybe Shimur of Lisha would work. So maybe the failure over there was that the Nachri prepared the dough to the point that you accepted it and then you bake it. But that means that there was no Shimur at the time of the kneading, and that's the failure here. The failure here is there's no Shimur from that point of Lisha onward. That's where we want the Shimur to start. And therefore, there's a failure because you're taking the dough at a later stage from the Nachri. Yes, you can check it now. You can look at it to make sure that it's not Chametz, or it hasn't reached the point of Chametz. But nevertheless, you can't do the Shimur from Lishan onwards. And maybe that's the failure over here. But had you done Shmirah from Lishan onward, maybe it would have been good enough. And therefore, Rava loses his proof here. He loses his proof that Shimur is Mi'ikara. That has to be from a prior point in time. You're right, it has to be from a prior point in time. But that prior point in time might just be Lisha. Because in this Breita, the point where he starts the Shimur is from when he takes the dough from the Nachri. And in taking the dough from the Nachri, that means he only starts the Shimur from Afiyah and onward. And so, therefore, Rava said, I can prove to you that you must have a Shmirah earlier in order to get the Matzah you want for the night of Pesach. Where it says, yeah, you're right, it has to be earlier, but not as early as you think. It only has to go back to Lisha. And Lisha would have been sufficient, and you don't have to go back further. So, Fafilu Hochi, despite the fact that we undermine Rava's proof, Lohadar Bei Rava. Rava did not change his mind. Damar Lahu Lahanu the Mahapachet Kibay, because we know that he used to tell the people that used to flip over the stacks of wheat that Kimahapachitu, when you flip them over and you work with the wheat, Hafichu Lushum Mitzvah. Should do it Lushem Mitzvah Matzat Mitzvah. Alma Kasavar, we conclude from this that Rava believes, Shimur Mikara Mitzklatova Tzofo Be'inan. When you need Shimur from an earlier time, that is from beginning to end. And that's Rava's position, that you need Shmirah from beginning to end. Mar Breid Ravina, he used to have Menakto Le'ime Be'arbe. She used to collect for him the wheat kernels and place them into a trough before Pesach to save them so that he could use them when he wanted to make his matzah. So you should guard them, ensure that they were not problematic, and put them into this encasement so he could use them later. Now the Gabed Aloch over here, we moved through a number of pieces over here, but there are very important halachot that derive from this. One of them is the din of Shmura Matzah. This is the source for Shmura Matzah, because of the pasuk Shmartem et Matzot, and Rava tells us over here, that means that they require Shmirah. What the purpose of this Shmirah is subject to a machloket Rishonim. You can see in Tosafot over here, Tosafot makes it clear that what the Shmirah is for over here. He asks a question. He says, well, if you need Shmirah according to Rava from Shati Puch, Imkein, Heche Muchach the Mitzvah Liltot. How can you prove from this that it's a mitzvah to soak the grain if you require Shmirah from even before that point in time? Dimalav Mitzvah, Elatzach Shimur Mitzchalot Osofo. Maybe the whole requirement of Shmirah is from beginning to end. It has nothing to do in particular with the fact that it's being soaked. V'yeshlomar, the Ikar Shimur Kadesh Lo Tachmitz. The main purpose of Shmirah and Shmura Matzah is to ensure that it does not become Chametz. And therefore, that's why Rava concludes that if I'm going to do Shmirah, even if I'm going to do it from the beginning to the end, still the main part of the Shmirah is the Shmirah over the point where it can become Chametz from when there's addition of water. Whether that means the soaking of the grain or the water being added to the flour. Either way, that is the main purpose of Shmirah, is to prevent Chametz. Okay. So that's a good question. Josh presents the question then that, well, if the whole point of Shmirah is Chametz, then why do we worry about it from such an early stage in Mahabav Chetitu? So there are two approaches to answer your question. One approach to answer that question is, Eino Chanami, you don't need to do it from back then. Rava was machmir latzmo. Rava was machmir, but that's not a necessity. The main purpose of shmirah is the shmirat chametz, and that would be from the point of lisha ve'elech, or if you do litut from the time that you soak it and onward. Rava was machmir, and he did it for himself. That was not the normative halacha, and that is not the din. You want to be machmir like Rava, that's fine. But Rava is clearly a chumrah because he has no source. In the end, the Gemara pulls away his source, and yet he stands his ground and he stands his position. So it's clear that his position seems to be a chumrah. That's one approach of the Rishonim. The other approach of the Rishonim is that even from that early stage, there's still a requirement of shimur, and that is the shimur from water. The possibility is that there's moisture or water in the process, and that's why from that moment of the Mafiktu, we worry about the water that could be there. We worry about the possibility that chametz could enter into the process. So those are two ways to deal with why you would have to go so early in the process to watch it, do shmirah, even though the shmirah here is simply for the chimutz. Okay, so now what you're presenting is the other side, the Rishonim, who believe that the shimur over here is not a shimur to prevent chimutz, but the shimur over here is the shame matzat mitzvah, to do it for the mitzvah a matzah that you have in particular in mind, that you have kavanah, that this is being done the shame matzat mitzvah. And that does come out from the word mitzvah that is mentioned over here. That's two approaches in the Rishonim. You have Rishonim who believe that the shimur here is for chimutz. You have Rishonim here who believe the shimur here is the shame mitzvah, to do it for the mitzvah. Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananu also over here are poseach hashnei siipim. As we mentioned before, Rashi is more explicit even on Lamed Chet Amud Bet, where he mentions it. But over here as well, he notes that the shmirah here is that you have to do a miu the matzah shom mitzvah shimur lishma be'inan, that you have to do this shimur l'shem matzat mitzvah. But what is the shimur? The shimur is from becoming chametz. So the way Rashi phrases it, and it's more explicit on Lamed Chet Amud Bet, at the top Rashi there says kol shimur shata mishamra shelo tachmitz hitkaven l'shem matzah shom mitzvah. So you have to have the shmirah is to prevent the chimutz, but while you're doing it, you have to have in mind that the reason you're trying to prevent the chimutz is so it's for the matzah of mitzvah. So that's interesting way to bridge the two approaches, which to say it's the shem mitzvah, but the mitzvah over here is the prevention of chimutz. So Rashi says in the Rabbeinu Chananu on the last line on Memon Alf also says a similar thing, that they are on both sides of the fence, saying that there's a need for the shem matzat mitzvah, but there's also a necessity to watch it so it does not become chametz. Now, this has major nafkaminot in terms of the halacha as to, number one, when do you have to start shimur. If you believe that shimur is a shem matzat mitzvah, then you high likelihood that you would start the shmirah from an earlier stage, because if you're doing the shem mitzvah, then any part of the processing you would want to do the shem mitzvah. If it's only the shem chimutz, then you would really only require the shmirah from the point where chimutz is a real risk or a real issue. So that would lead you to believe that the shmirah only starts from litot or from the case of lisha. And there are Rishonim who say that to have shmirah before the point of lisha is a chumrah that has no basis and it's not necessary whatsoever, because the possibilities of chimutz before that point in time are very low. And therefore, the real din of chimutz and shmirah mechimutz only starts mishlah and eilech. So one afkamina between the two reasons has to do with when do you believe that the shmirah has to start. That's one afkamina. The second afkamina is a very important afkamina over here, which is the batzekot shel nachrim. Over here, we had the dough of the nachri that's allowed to be used here and eaten on Pesach. So what's evidence from the Gemara over here is that the nachri can prepare the dough, and then a Jew can take over the process. By showing that, what you see is that a nachri can prepare it milisha ve'elech, and despite that it's lisha elech, we still say that it's okay for the nachri to do it. So now, how does that work? If you believe that it's shimur mechametz, still you weren't there doing the shimur. That's number one. Number two is, if it's a shem matzat mitzvah, then the nachri is not doing it l'shem matzat mitzvah. So you have a failure over there. So why are you allowed to use batzekot shel nachrim? So the answer might be that Rava is just not right. That statement of the Gemara that says that you can use matzot nachrim is against Rava's chumrah in the end. Because the end, the Gemara says that braita is not a proof to Rava, and that the truth is you don't need shmirah from so early on, or for so much earlier than the point of Lisha, or maybe from Afiyah and onward is all that you need. B'diavad, that might be the psak of some of the Rishonim, that you don't need Shmirah all the way from the beginning. You need Shmirah only from Lisha, and then there's another set of Rishonim that you only need it from Afiyah ve'elech. That's one. The second thing is, can you create the Shimor? Can you stand over the Nachri and create the Shimor even though the Nachri is working? So that would be one question with Chimutz. Can you guard against Chimutz while you stand there and ensure that there's no Chimutz? Number two is, can you create Matzat Mitzvah? Well, the Nachri is there. Can you create Matzat Mitzvah by you standing there and saying, I'm doing the Matzat Mitzvah? Or is it the person who's actively engaged that has to do it? And therefore, when the Nachri is doing it, you fail at the Matzat Mitzvah. Why that's important has to do with machine-made matzot. Because by machine-made matzot, you start to run into that same problem, which is, where is the Shmirah? And where is the Kavanah of Matzat Mitzvah that comes to with machine-made matzot? So there are many of the poskim that believe that, and it was a big machloket. You know, once machine matzot came out, it was a tumult while they started it. I mean, today it's much more accepted and acceptable, but there was a big tumult originally. And one of the issues is this issue of Shimor, as well as Kavanah L'Shem Matzat Mitzvah. So many of the poskim believe the fact that when you push the button, it engages the machinery and they work. That's enough to be called the Shem Matzat Mitzvah. Because a human being, it doesn't work by itself. It doesn't happen by itself. A human being has to start the process, engage the process. By engaging the process, it's enough to have Kavanah. Others believe that that's not enough. That is not sufficient that you push the button. But the fact is that we see from our Gemara that the Nachri can be here and you can stand over the Nachri and call it the Shem Matzat Mitzvah. So the same thing by the machinery. So even though pushing the button is not sufficient, you could be there all the way through. And even though the machinery is doing the work, you can be there saying L'shem Matzat Mitzvah, just like you do that when it comes to a Nachri. There's a third position, which is that machine-made matzot are problematic, that you can't get the proper Kavanah. And that is actually the opinion of Avad Yosef. Avad Yosef says that you should not use machine-made matzot, a shmura, on the Leila Seder. In order to ensure that you get the Matzat Mitzvah, then to me, outside of the realm of machloket, because it is a machloket rishonim, you should use handmade shmura matzah on the night of the Seder. He says, for the rest of Pesach, even for Biwa Machmi only to eat shmura matzah, he thinks that machine-made shmura is fine. But, he says, for the night of Pesach, one should use handmade shmura matzah. Very good. So the question you're asking is, if the issue here is chimutz, then chimut should be equally applicable to the first night of Pesach as the rest of Pesach. And, by the way, that's what the Rambam does not differentiate. The Rambam makes no differentiation in chametz, and it seems the Magen Mishnah notes on this that there is, seems to be, according to the Rambam, a shmira mishum chimutz. And shmira mishum chimutz means that there should be no differentiation between the first night of Pesach and the other 6 days of Pesach. In that all the days, if it's shmira mishum chimutz means every day, not just for the first night of Pesach. You would say, and you're right, that once you talk about active Shmirah, like Rashi does, even though he's talking about Chametz, but he talks about a mitzvah and a mitzvah Shmirah, or you talk about the Shem Matzvot Mitzvah, there you could see a differentiation between the first day and the latter days. The Chaim basically takes what you're saying and splits, and he says there are two types of Shmirah over here. There's a Shmirah, which is the Shem Chimutz, and the Shmirah, that's the Shem Matzat Mitzvah. And that they're both involved here, that there's both a requirement of Shmirah, the Shem Matzat Mitzvah, it's also a requirement of Shmirah, the Shem Chimutz. And some of them can be taken over by other processes, or can have an Achri work it and check it after the fact, so on and so forth. Meaning that you could then separate out the two Shmirot and say that a part of the Shmirah can be taken care of, or okay with an Achri or with a machine, but the other part of Shmirah may not be. And that would solve your problem for the rest of Pesach. The rest of Pesach, that Shmirah might be sufficient, or Mashim Meir Matzah may be sufficient. But for the first night of Pesach, where you also need the Shem Matzat Mitzvah, there will not be sufficient, or there you can't do it, and that's what might separate out the first night of Pesach. The Shevet Alevi has a compromise, an interesting compromise, where he suggests that the Shimur actually changes through the process, which is that both Shmirot apply, but the Shmirah from the beginning, when we talk about like Rava, who says that from the time you're already flipping the grains, that already begins the process of Shmirah, he says that's a different Shmirah than the Shmirah from Elisha Melech. And he says this, V'ilav achrad katan kamoni, if I wasn't such a little guy, hayiti omer, I would explain, I have delben k'tzirah v'tchina l'isha. What's the difference between harvesting, grinding, and kneading. Tiktirav tchina kevin she'enam etzim asiyat ha-mitzvah, since they are not the ikar part of doing the mitzvah, ve'enam chefza shel ha-mitzvah, ad asiyat ha-matzah b'lisha, till you reach the point where you're kneading the dough to make it for a matzah, v'afiyah, and the baking, dai b'shimur mechametz avur matzah. Then the only type of shimur that you need there is to prevent it from becoming chametz. It's a shum matzab, not to become chametz. Ubeze mahani avodat gililim, and that's why a non-Jew would help in that situation. K'nilayel me'arishonim. Mashenke milisha ve'elech. From the kneading point and onwards, she'ikara cheftza shel mitzvah. That's the chefetz mitzvah. Dvin and lishma mamash. There you need really the shma l'shem mitzvah. Moshe kadav Rashi, rishonim. Umeilo l'mahani avodat gililim, or the done by a goy, v'afopi shein lenu rak pasuk echad, l'shnehem, even though there's only one pasuk, shmarta l'matzot, v'kom akom li'en ha'kavana kach kibalnu, that there's actually a bifurcation of the shmira or the lishma, and he defines it as opposed to the Reb Chaim, who says they both apply simultaneously the shmirot, that you have shmira mi'chametz and shmira l'shem mitzvah. One of them is a shmira of preventive measure, one's a shmira in that creates an chefetz of matzah, that's the way the Reb Chaim says it. Over here, the Shevet HaLevi says a similar item, but he breaks it up. And he says there are certain processes where the Lishma, the Shem Mitzvah, is not really relevant because it's not the Chefetz of Matzah yet. This is a standard process. Where do you get to the point of Chefetz of Matzah? That's Milisha Ve'elech. That's when you get involved in Matzah. So that's where you need the Shem Matzat Mitzvah. That's where you need that type of Shmirah. Prior to that point in time, the only Shmirah that you're doing is the Shem, the Chametz. So because of that, he differentiates it between the two. It's an interesting suggestion in terms of breaking up the Shmirah between the earlier parts and the latter parts with regards to Shmirah and the Shmurah Matzah. Again, this has nafkaminot for non-Jews, has nafkaminot in terms of machine-made matzot because of that. We should know that the Gaonim bring down that it's totally fine to use bidyeved dough or kemach that was made by a non-Jew, because they believe that the Shmira here is a Shmira Mechimutz. And the Shmira Mechimutz can be bidyeved, made up for by the processing of other people, not only by a Jew. Alright, so that gives you a basic skira, an overview of the mitzvah of Shmira of Shmura Matzah. And I'll send out the Mekorot so that you can see the Mekorot. And it could just remind you, there was just recently an article in the New York Times on June 28th that talked about Shmura Matzah within the Satmar community and describes this process of Shmirab that they even go further than Rava and that they're even watching it while it's still attached to the ground and when it's growing and that they actually moved some of their wheat production to places like Arizona where it doesn't rain during the wheat harvest so they don't have any problems of water and liquids getting in contact with the wheat itself. The last thing I'll just note here, which is what's deriving or what's happening in the halacha here, is that there's a clear contrast between shmira and chametz. That matzah has to be made in the context of chametz. That you can't have matzah that's made in a pristine situation where there's no possibility of chametz. And that only when there is the possibility of chametz can you create matzah. And therefore, there are many who believe that the matzot that you have to have on the Pesach, on the night of Pesach, have to be matzot that were baked at a time of Isur Chametz. Because it's only when there's a risk of Chametz can you have a real matzah. So there are many that have matzot from Erev Pesach after Zman Isur Chametz. And there are even people today, who I know, Rav Reim HaKohen, the Rosh Yeshiva Notniel, who bake their matzahs at the night of the Seder, the night of Pesach, when there's a real Isur Karet on the Chametz. That's when they bake their matzah. Because only in the contrast between Chametz and matzah can you create matzah. Because matzah is the lack of chimutz, but you have to have the risk of chimutz to create a lack of chimutz. You can, if you create matzah without any possibility of chimutz, then it's not matzah because it didn't prevent anything. The matzah is the suppression of the chimutz process, and that's why it's important. And you see that from this Gemara over here, that the whole idea of shmirah and shmatim et matzot, as Rava says, is that if you didn't soak it, then why do you need shmirah? If you're not needing it, then why don't you need shmirah? I mean, shmirah is a derivative of the fact that you have to be in the risk for chametz. And that's an integral part of creating matzah, is that you're at risk for chametz. And you'll see in the things that I said, the Keren Orah also has a nice vort on this idea of chametz and shmirah and the messages behind that with regards to the Yetzirah and so on and so forth. Okay, let's move on in the Gemara now. Gemara says, Hau Arba, there was this boat or ship, Techite, that was carrying wheat on it. The Tava Bechishta, it sunk in the Bechishta River. Shai Rava Lizvune Lenachrim. Rava permitted them to sell this grain to non-Jews. So this capsized ship, which has the grain now that's waterlogged or water-soaked, he allowed them to sell it to the non-Jews. Etve Rava Barlivai, the Rava. So they challenged Rava's Psakovir. Begage Avadbo Kilayim. If you have a piece of clothing that has kilayim in it, but it's lost, meaning that it's not obvious that there's kilayim in this beged, then you may not sell it to a non-Jew, for the fear that the non-Jew may then go and resell it to a Jew. But the Jew assuming that it was originally came from a Jew, it must not have kilayim in it. But that's not the case, because the kilayim was lost, and that's why he sold it to Nachri. So you're not permitted to sell it to a Nachri in that case. Now, as Tosafot points out, it's clear from this Gemara, if the kilayim is obvious, and you can see the kilayim, you know the kilayim is there, it's no problem to sell it. There's no problem selling kilayim to the Nachri when it's obvious or it's known that the kilayim is there. The problem is when the kilayim is not known, that's where we have an issue. And you cannot make for a saddle for the chamor from this item. Again, for the same reason, which is that the saddle itself is not a problem with kilayim. You could sit on the saddle, you could sit on this mat that goes across the donkey, because that's not a problem with kilayim. Tosafot discusses why not, what's the issue, but it's not a beged. Problem is that when a person does with that mardat, is if they need a patch for their beged, they'll take it off the mardat and they'll use it as a patch. Unbeknownst to them, there's kilayim in this item, in this beged or this item that's sitting on the donkey, and they won't know that. So that's why you can't do this. Aval, what you can do is osim oto tachrichim the mate. You can make these shrouds for those that have been niftar, those that have passed away, because the tachrichim are mate are surim b'hana'ah. So now we have no more fear. We have no fear that they're going to take this kilayim after the fact and utilize it, because you can't utilize it. Since it's asur ba'ana'ah, this kilayim is going to remain there forever and it's not going to be a problem. Now what's interesting over here, Tosafot raises the issue that he raises in other places, Gemara Brachot, Nida, Bababatra, and Menachot, which is the problem of Loeg Larosh. Isn't this a problem of making fun of the mate? How could you make tachuchim out of kilayim? Put tachrim on kilayim, it's as if you're making fun of the mate that you're telling me, yeah, you don't have the mitzvah of kilayim anymore. You can wear kilayim, and you're putting on shrouds of kilayim, and that is problematic, because we have this principle of loeg l'rosh. We saw it in the Gemara in Brachot. Person's not allowed to walk with their tzitzit hanging out by the kever of an individual, because it looks like you're making fun of them. So how come over here we don't have that application of loeg l'rosh? So Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosafot here brings the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is mentioned in numerous places in Tosafot throughout Shas, and when these sugyas come up. And Rabbeinu Tam says this is a unique din by tzitzit. It's a unique din by tzitzit because tzitzit are shkuloim kekol mitzvot. They're equal to all the mitzvot of Torah. So it's an especially important mitzvah. And since it is an especially important mitzvah, that if you walk around with your tzitzit hanging out by the mate, that's like making fun of them. And even though we bury the mate with a talit on, with tzitzit on, nevertheless, it's still making fun of him because you're a mitzuve ve'ose, and he's an eino mitzuve ve'ose. So it's still a poke, it's a tuch at the mate that he doesn't have the tzitzit or he can't do the tzitzit properly. So that's one. Number two is Tosafot discusses the fact that our minhag today is to pasul the tzitzit when we put it on the mate. Over here, Tosafot says that's because it's based on Masechet Sofrim and the Masechetot Ketanot sometimes override our Gemara. Tosafot in other places in Shas talks about why we pasul the tzitzit. One of the reasons might be because of this problem of Loeg LaRosh. In addition to that, Tosafot speaks about the problem of the reason that a person wears tzitzit when they die is because to show that they kept the mitzvot when they were alive. The problem is that the people weren't wearing tzitzit when they were alive. They weren't keeping the mitzvot when they were alive. Well, you're comparing them with tzitzit, it's even worse. It's like making fun of them. Yeah, you didn't keep the mitzvot. Here, take that talit with you. Therefore, there was a minhag to be posel the tzitzit, even for those who did wear tzitzit, and even those who did very low plug. So that's the idea of loeg l'rosh, that we try to ensure not to do things within proximity of the mate to cause them problems. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only a problem in tzitzit. According to the Ri and the Tosafot, it's a problem in all mitzvot, and we try our best not to do things in front of the mate. By kilayim, where the problem is only someone's wearing it as a beged, so then when the mate is there, he doesn't have a problem with kilayim, because he's not wearing it as a beged. It's not a beged that's mechameim for him. So because of that, it may be that the kilayim is okay, and it's not a violation of the mitzvah or a violation or a problem of loeg l'rosh. The Rambam has an unusual shita with Loeg LaRosh, which I always say over the name of my brother-in-law, which he points out that the Rambam himself has no concept of Loeg Darash. Because as a rationalist, it's very hard to talk about Loeg Darash. That means that the Metim know what's going on. And you're making fun of the Metim. So that's, the Rambam was not willing to accept that. So every time you see the Rambam, whenever the Gemara says Loeg Darash is a problem, the Rambam paskins that it's a problem, but not because of Loeg Darash. He calls it like a problem, like a makom she'eino she'mentunaf. So as if you dive in a place that is inappropriate, like a bathroom or a place where there's excrement, then you have to dive in again because your tefillah was not a good tefillah. So too, the Rambam writes, when a person davens in the Beit HaKvarot, or he does something in the Beit HaKvarot, it doesn't work. Not because it's Loeg Darash, but rather because it's a makom she'eino nachon. It's a makom that's not ra'ui for a tefillah. And that's why you can't do it there. The Ravid right away is Mesigan. And what do you mean? Of course, it's fine tefillah. It's just that you were Loeg Darash. Maybe it's a mitzvah baba aveiro, but it's still not a problem where the mitzvah doesn't happen. That's clear, the differentiating factor here, where the Rambam believes that there's no concept of Loeg Darash. So he's talking about a failure in the mitzvah from these locations. The Ravid's talking about the classic understanding of Loeg Darash, which is that you're making fun of the mate. And that's a problem. It doesn't ruin the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah, but it's still a problem to be Loeg Darash. So you see that in their worldviews, that you see their Psak Halacha with regards to Loeg Darash also takes that form. All right, so now the Gemara says, L'nachri, my time alone. Why can't you sell kilayim to Nachri? La mishum dahadar maz bin Yisrael, because he's going to then turn around and sell it to a Jew, and the Jew won't know that there's kilayim in there. Hadar marava. So then Rava retracted his position and said, you're right, if we sell it to the non-Jews, they're going to resell these grains to the Jews, and the Jews won't know that they were waterlogged, and it's going to be a problem of chimutz before Pesach. So he says, that's what I suggest you do. Lizvinu kava kava Yisrael. You can sell small quantities to the Jews, in order to ensure that they're going to finish it up before Pesach. So you can sell small enough quantities where they can use it up before Pesach, because then there's going to be no problem. Even if they don't know it's waterlogged, it's going to be used before Pesach, and we're not going to have a problem. But you may not sell it to the Nachri. Tana Banan, Ein molulim et akdira bePesach. One cannot be molel. Now, molel, in the traditional sense of the Gemara, molel means to roll or to shell something. Over here, that's not the case, because we're talking about a kdera. Rashi says, in molim etak deira, it's that you're not allowed to line the pot with this item. Now, it seems to be that it was used to soak up the steam, the bubbling, as well as the bad vapors or things that float out. When you boil something out, it absorbed it. And that's what this kemach was used for, was something similar to amalei shel tabachim that the Gemara talks about in other places. This dough that was placed around it. Here it's talking about flour that was used to absorb those things that they didn't want and to prevent it from bubbling over. Barotzeshimlo, and a person really wants to do this, notena ta kemach, you put the flour in first, vachak notena ta chometz, then you put vinegar on top of it. Because by placing the vinegar on top of it, you suppress any chimutz. Vayeshomrim, af notena ta chometz, some say you can put the chometz in first, vachak notena ta kemach, and then you put the flour in afterwards. Man yeshomrim. Who's the yeshomrim over here? That's authored by the position of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not. We have a Mishnah in Perkei Kira and Shabbat. Hayufis vakdeira. When you're talking about the frying pan or the pot that was taken, was taken off the fire. So now it's a kli rishon shuhusaminesh. Lo yiten lo tochan tavlin. You're not allowed to put spices into them because that's bishul. You're mevashel. Avon noten lo tocha kiara. But you can't place it into the serving dish or the tocha tamchui or the plate or the serving dish, because there it's already a kli sheni. A kli sheni is a no mevasho. So you can't put the tavlin into the kli rishon because that's mevasho. You can't put them into a kli sheni because that's a no mevasho. Yehuda Meir, the kohu notain. You can put it to anything you want. Chutz mitavash sheish bo chometz v'tzir. You can put it into anything you want except for something that has vinegar or brine in it. Because vinegar and brine accelerate the cooking process. Since they accelerate the cooking process, that would be a problem on Shabbat, because then there's bishul on Shabbat. So you can place it into a kli, because a kli sheni is not mevashel unless it has chometz and tzir in it. Because it has chometz and tzir, that does accelerate the bishul process. And then even in a kli sheni, it would be problematic. So what you see from Rabbi Yehuda is that chometz and tzir have this property of accelerating the bishul. If that's the case, then it also prevents the chametz, because it will accelerate the bishul process, and therefore you don't have to worry about chametz. Now, number one, that's the explanation why Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our position. But number two is, wait a minute, what about Rabbi Yossi? We just had Rabbi Yossi on the previous Amud, who says that whenever you have a problem with chimutz, throw it into the vinegar, and that'll suppress the chimutz. So why can't he be the author of this position? Minukma ki Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Sharan b'chometz b'chometz somtan. Soak them in vinegar, and the vinegar constricts them. It causes the chimutz process to stop. So Gemara says, no. Ki ashmina le'da Rabbi Yossi, hani mili de'ita be'ene. Rabbi Yossi only says vinegar works when it's pure vinegar. But if it's mixed in with something else, that's not the case. And that's why we write Rabbi Yehuda as the proof. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case in Shabbat where you have a kli sheni that has an item in it, and then you're putting vinegar together with it. It has an item with vinegar in it, and then you put the tavlin in, and we say that it cooks. So there it's chometz that's mixed with something else, still has the properties or the ability to cook, or to accelerate the cooking process. So too over here, in our case, we're talking about the chometz going in first, together with the tavshil, and then you put the kamach in, that's fine, because the chometz mixed together with the tavshil that's there will not weaken the chometz, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still efficacious at cooking or restricting the chimutz, and it'll be fine. So according to Rabbi Yossi only says chometz works when it's pure chometz. But in a case where it's a mix of chometz, then we don't assume that it works because it's been diluted, or the properties of the chometz have been diluted, and it won't work. And that's why we chose Rabbi Yehuda to be the author of this position over here, and not Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara says, Ulamar, Echadze vechadze asur. Both of these are problematic. Mishum, because of the case of Lech Lech, Amrina Nizira, we say to the Nazir, go, go, score, score, around, around, the Karmelo Tigrav, don't get close to the vineyard. So a Nazir who is restricted from eating grapes or drinking wine, we tell him, don't even get close to a temptation. Tell him, go around the vineyard. He could walk through the vineyard. It's not a problem. We still say, make a good choice. Make a good decision and circumvent the vineyard so you don't have any temptation. You don't have any problem. And so, too, that's what Rav Chista Ula is saying over here, is echadzeh vechadzeh. Whether you put the chometz in first or you put the kemach in first doesn't matter. We're not going to let you do this because it's too risky. Too risky. You're already in the possibility of chometz, and we don't want that. So that's why Ula says both of them are sur. We don't use the chometz here at all. A puppy. Shari le leburdike the beresh galuta. Puppy permitted the bakers of the house of the exilarch, the mamache kedera bechasise, to line the pot with chasise, which is roasted wheat kernels, or really roasted wheat that they made or they ground into kemach. Amrava. Is anybody who would be matir such a thing in a place where there's so many servants around? Some say that it was Rava himself that lined the pot in this way. Now, the Rava's criticism of Rapapa's action is that in the Reish Galuta you have a lot of servants. And if you give them a finger, they take a hand. You give them a hand, they take an arm. So if you're matir this to them, they're not going to stop there. So in a place where you have lots of avadim and people don't pay attention or listen, if you're matir this type of thing, Rapapa, it's going to just have a become a snowball effect, and they're going to be matir a lot more things. So Rav is saying to Rapapa, you're right, might be right, me ikar adin, that this is permitted, but in a place where you have tons of avadim, I would not permit it. And then ikadamre, so that some say Rav gufa machila kidra bechazizi. Some say that the lashon is that Rav himself held of Rapapa's position, and he lined the pot with this item. But that is because he did it personally, and that he was watching over it and made sure that there was no chimutz over here. And this is similar to what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, which is lo limcheinish kidra b'kimcha davishna. You can't put in or line it with these roasted kernels, because there we were worried about the fact that it wasn't fully cooked or fully baked, and that would cause the problem. So over here, we're martir them to do the machek ter b'chasise is obviously in a case where it's something that, as Rashi says, kimcha dabshuna, that it's something that either they're sure that it's fully roasted or it's not a problem. For that reason, Tosafot says, wait a minute, I have kimcha dabshuna back on the bottom of lamed tedamud bet, and I have kimcha dabshuna over here. Kimcha dabshuna on the bottom of lamed tedamud bet, we said it's asur, and nobody disagreed. All of a sudden over here, we have kimcha dabshuna, and we have Rav Papi and Rava, and everybody's discussing it. What happened there? So Tosafot says it's clear that that's the wrong explanation over here. So he favors the explanation of the Oroch, that the item that's being used here is not Kimcha Dabshuna. It's not talking about these roasted kernels that were made into or ground into flour, but rather the Shita the Oroch, which is Chasise Kemach Shel Adashim. It's lentil flour. They don't fully ferment or leaven. They might rise a little bit, but they don't do it fully. So because of that, that's what the discussion was about here, whether that is permissible or not. Permissible. Can the chometz take care of that or not take care of that? Or can we use this to line the pots because of the question of chimutz? And therefore, it also differentiates this case from the case in the bottom of Lamed Tet Amud Bet. All right, now we have a Mishnah that has a mosaic or eclectic group of dinim that are put together. One is, Einotim kemach l'toch choroset. You cannot put flour inside of choroset. So choroset over here is a dip. It's a vinegary dip. And you put the flour in there because when you put the flour in there, over time, the flour will ferment and it will increase the pungency or the acidic level of the dip. That's why you put the kemach in there. But the reason you put the kemach in there is because it will ferment over time. It will leaven over time, and that's problematic. Oh, the tochardal. And the same is true by mustard seed. V'im natan, if you do put it in, you'll chalmiyad. You eat it right away. Because then it won't become tchimuz. If you consume it right away, you won't have a problem with tchimuz. Rabbi Meir, oser. Rabbi Meir says you can't eat it. Forget it. It's done. If that's that, it's problematic. Im avashlim et pesach, cannot cook the pesach. Lo b'mashkim, not in liquids. Lo b'mei peirot, and not in fruit juices. Because the pasuk says that you're not allowed to you can't be bushal b'mayim, can't be cooked in water. And the Gemara is going to dash in that water doesn't just mean water, it means any liquid. So you can't boil the korban pesach, it has to be roasted. Aval, what you can't do is sachin, you can baste it. Umadbilin otoben, you can baste it with these liquids, or after it's done, you can dip into these liquids. It's not a problem. Mei tashmishoshal nachtom, the water that the baker uses to cool his hands off when he's working with the bread or to clean his hands when he's working the bread, they should be spilled out and not kept around because they ferment or they leaven, and that's a problem. So you need to get rid of those before Pesach or any time that works during Pesach with kneading or working with the dough. If he has this type of water, it should be spilled out. Amar Rav Kana, machloket atoch chardal. There's only a machloket here when you put it into the mustard seed. In the Machloket in the Mishnah, whether it works to eat it afterwards or not, that's by the chardal. Aval, toch charoset divya kol yisarif miyad. Everybody agrees that you burn it right away when it comes to charoset. V'tani nami ochi, we have a braita that supports that. Ein otnim kemach l'toch charoset. You shouldn't put the kemach into the charoset. V'natani yisarif miyad. If you do put it in, you have to burn it off right away. Toch chardal. When it comes to chardal, Rabbi Meir omer yisarif miyad. V'chamim omerim yochal miyad. So you see here that machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim only applies by chardal and not by charosin. That would match with Rav Chista's qualification of our Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Alocha Kedivrei Chachamim. The Alocha is like the Chachamim. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda, a charoset kamar mar or a chardar kamar mar? When you say the Alocha is like a Chachamim, do you mean the Chachamim vis-a-vis their position in chardal? Or is it the Chachamim's position vis-a-vis their position in charoset? So Malay, the Mayan Afkamino, why does it make a difference? So the Rav Kahana, he said back to me, it makes a difference because Rav Kahana, Dam Rav Kahana, Machloke betocha chardal. Aval tocha charoset, divya kol yisarif miyad. So if you tell me the halacha is like the chachamim by charoset, that everybody agrees. So that's not a big deal. Or you tell me the halacha is like the chachamim when it comes to chardal, that's a bigger statement because then you tell me the halacha is like the chachamim where they argue with Rabbi Meir. Malay, lo shmili, I never heard such a distinction. Klomar, lo severely. I don't hold of that position of Rav Chista. So that's what Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda says, that I don't believe that Rav Chista's qualification in the Mishnah is correct. Amar Ravashi, Kavati, Rav Kahana, Mistabro. Now, that which Rav Kahana says makes a lot of sense. Mida Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Ein alocha ki Rabbi Yossi. The alocha is not like Rabbi Yossi. My love. So that means that vinegar, the alocha is not like Rabbi Yossi, that the vinegar can suppress the chimutz process, or we can use vinegar to suppress the chimutz process. So now, but Rav Ashi suggests is that what which Kahana said makes a lot of sense. That qualification of the Mishnah that Rav Kahana says, it makes sense. Because he says, Shmuel says, the halacha is not like Rav Yossi. My love. So what would you conclude from that? Tzimutei hu delo tzamit. That vinegar is not successful at suppressing the chimut. Ha, chamuyim mechama. But it does cause leavening. I mean, it's not successful at suppressing it, but it does just the opposite. It causes chamit. I says, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it does not suppress the leavening. And it also does not cause leavening, meaning that it's a neutral liquid. A neutral liquid, which means it doesn't have the suppression, but also does not accelerate or does not cause the leavening. And therefore, you can't prove anything from this. What Rav Ashi was trying to show is that we clearly see within the position of Shmuel already this idea that vinegar has the properties of being mechametz. And therefore, everybody would agree by charoset, which has a lot of vinegar in it, that there's nothing to talk about. You have to burn it right away. Whereas by the case of chardal, we had a little more room to work, and that's why you have a machloket. So that was the suggestion of Rav Ashi in support of Rav Gana's position, that here we do see such a distinction within the din of Shmuel. And the Gemara's answer then is maybe not. Maybe there is no such differentiation, and that when it comes to vinegar, it's not successful at suppressing, but it also does not cause chametz. Okay, we'll stop over here.